Hey, it's Fleet, Vaughn and Megan. Thanks.
Insert name here.
For downloading the podcast brought to you by MyRepublic.
Brought to you by MyRepublic, but what if I downloaded this using another provider?
Well, don't worry. They won't hold it against you. How's that for knowing no limits?
ZM's Fleet, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
Guys, I've started getting invested in Team New Zealand and now we're losing.
I know.
Stop then. Don't watch anymore.
Classic, hey.
Classic me and Kiwis.
You're the Richie McCaw curse. Didn't he watch the Crusaders and they lost?
Really? Yeah. Is that what the deal was? Was this at the weekend?
Yeah.
Against the Leos?
You can't put them off. He's sitting at the sideline. They're like, oh, God, Richie's watching.
It's like your ex-girlfriend watching yeah. you.
In bed.
Trying to have sex against a touring British team with your new girlfriend?
Yeah.
It would be off-putting.
You're right.
All right.
Everywhere.
Today on the show, Megan, you'll see behind you a spinny winny winny wheel, a classic radio device used to give away things. Have a spin if you want.
Have a wee
tutter. Now,
that's a nice one. We've borrowed that off Tony Street, haven't we?
We have, yeah.
Because I see there's a piece of paper in the middle covering Tony Street's radio station's logo. Classic. ZM budget blowout there.
There's not enough money. We spent it all on the secret
sound. We couldn't even get a sticker that says ZM on it. We just want a piece of blank white paper over their logo.
Bring it over, Megan.
Oh, God, it's so heavy.
God.
Well, it's got to be heavy. Tony's very strong. When she spins it, if it's not weighted down, she'll push it right over.
No, you laugh. It's so heavy. Oh, shit.
Oh, God. Okay, give it a spin. Oh, Tony Street knows a good winning wheel, doesn't she?
She actually crafted that herself.
Oh, she did.
Out of a cowrie stump she found in a swamp.
Oh, surprise. She's from Taranaki.
She dragged the cowrie swamp out. The cowrie out of the swamp and then carved it into that.
All right, so today, ZM's ticket wheel. We have a chance for you to win tickets either to Bruno Mars, Sia, Ed Sheeran, Thea, or Harry Styles. So we're going to give you the chance this morning to spin the ticket wheel at 8 o'clock, just after the news. So we'll play the activator before the break at 8 o'clock for your chance to win. Top 6 is coming up on the show.
Yeah, Tom Cruise is in Queenstown, and it's not just to escape how bad that new Mummy movie looks. He's doing Mission Impossible 14?
Yes.
53?
I think it's
six or seven.
Six. It's six.
And Queenstown is playing a role in this movie. Queenstown will be under IMDb.com as Iraq.
I got real excited because I thought New Zealand was going to be featured. I mean, I know it is New Zealand, but they say New Zealand in a movie. I get very excited.
The mountainous regions of our Southern Alps will be the mountainous regions of Iraq.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
All right, you lot, listen up. It's story time.
All right, three headlines, three interesting, unusual news stories from around the world. This is how story time works. Vaughn and Megan pick one headline only. We delve into that story. We explore it. Yeah, headline one, hazmat called to Sleeping Beauty Castle. Headline two, stoners miss out on grand designs. And headline three, beavers ruin wedding.
Oh. Stoners miss out on grand designs.
Yes.
Is the hazmat, what's that one? Hazmat called to Sleeping Beauty
Castle. Yes.
Is that the poo in Disneyland?
It might be, yes, Megan.
Someone took a tour to Disneyland.
Well, no, there was so much poo dropped on people. They thought that someone had done poos and thrown it at people, but it was actually geese had done massive poos from the sky, and they had to call in like the hazmat people, thinking it was human fecal matter.
But it was like 17 people, 11 adults, 6 children.
Was that migrating geese?
Yeah, apparently.
Well, that's you go to any place where that's full of the larger birds, your geese, your swans.
Mm.
The poo is massive. It looks like dog turds.
Yeah,
imagine that falling from the sky.
It's the happiest place on earth, isn't it? Until you get hit by geef.
Sure is.
Fecal matter in the face.
Geef you.
So I guess that's off the cards in that story.
Hazmat suit. I can close that down. Love grand designs. I am a huge fan of grand designs.
I know you are.
So I kind of want to hear the grand design story.
I think the story will tickle your fancy.
Okay.
It tickled me. We go to the UK now, where three men have been arrested. Now, they were arrested at their bunker because I don't know the backstory. If the, it used to be a nuclear fallout bunker, owned by the defence in the UK, but they no longer own it. So I'm guessing that it fell into private property. Somebody bought it, but these three men decided it would be a great place to grow marijuana.
Okay.
Now, police busted them at midnight, and what they found took them 10 days to completely search and clear out a facility that police say could have made 2 million pounds of marijuana a year. They had
How are they running it? You weren't on the power? Did they have generators or did they actually, was it still connected to some sort of power?
Apparently the lighting equipment alone was worth about £140,000. It could produce a crop every 6 weeks. They had somehow hooked into some illegal power supply.
Wow.
And were running the thing completely for free. So I don't know if they, this place had a, I don't know, some kind of power generator?
Well, yeah, if it's a missile, you'd imagine it would have had emergency power.
Yeah.
So how big was it?
Well, apparently it's a couple of floors and 20 rooms. There were drying rooms, nurseries, living quarters, and all set up 20 rooms over two floors. And almost every single room had been converted. And it was all in a blast-proof shelter.
Oh, my God.
And apparently they had an anonymous tip-off.
Yeah, which I was about to say, how did they even find this place?
Well, so I looked, this place is in a, it's in a little town, and it's South Chilmark. It sounds like it would have just been a nosy, couple of nosy neighbours.
Yeah.
Wondering why three dudes and all this lighting equipment and trucks are going at all kinds of hours of the night.
They were trying to hotbox some missile silo. Put a little thing over the top.
I get so excited when I see those like missile silos that are converted.
Well, when you said missile silo and the Grand Design headline, like, I've seen some people that have converted missile silos and they're amazing. Or fallout
bunkers
over there.
No natural light.
No, true.
It kind of gets you, doesn't it? But, you know, the way the world's going, who's laughing now? When they bought that missile silo in the 90s or 2000s for a cut price.
Yeah.
When world peace was right. Yeah, exactly. Right down there.
Wow. We don't have missile silos, eh?
No.
We've never had missile silos.
Well, we've got like, you go to the old tunnels that they built in World War II.
Well, we've got some old gunner spots out by my place where they'd shoot down the planes if they came in over the harbour.
Do but we you have anything left to defend ourselves?
Our
hydroelectric dam.
We've got some boats. We've got two boats.
That's good.
I see them from my house, yeah. And we've got
a can-do attitude.
Do we have five planes? We've got five air force planes.
I always see the big ones circling around my house. I know there's at least one. I know they try to make it look like an Air Force is bigger by flying around and doing loops. And you're like, wow, count the planes. But it's just one plane doing loops.
We'll be safe, guys.
Yeah, we'll be right.
With a trickery and a can-do attitude. What more do you need?
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
So 70% of New Zealand men are this one thing. Do you want to hazard a guess? It's maybe not the best news on a Monday. It's probably not what you want to hear after your weekend.
70%.
And it's New Zealand
pretending
men.
Pretending to like rugby. 30% do. 70% are like, oh, I love it. But rugby. Just like getting together with the lads and having some chips.
Do you like rugby or do you pretend? Or do you actually
even
pretend?
I don't even pretend, do I?
No, you don't pretend.
You don't mind it, though.
I don't hate it, but I don't get it.
You have a bubble bath during the big games.
Yeah, I'll watch I love a national anthem and a haka.
Yeah, and then you're out.
But now that there might be the singing of the Tuatara Mina iwi uwe.
I'm all about that.
I'm going to have to watch the telly for that because I love that little song, even though I don't know the middle bit. You know, nothing's quite as eye-opening as a five-year-old and a three-year-old trying to teach you that part because they know it.
Yeah.
They're singing at kindy in school. I don't know.
It's been a while since we were at kindy or school.
I know.
It's the problem.
So it's not that.
No, it's not that.
Oh, is it 70% of men pretend to know the middle part to Tuatara Mina
iwi? Yes. No. 70% of New Zealand men are overweight. Do you know New Zealand is ranked third in the OECD in obesity?
Overweight or obese?
Obese.
It's actually the least work you're ever going to have to do for a bronze medal. So
70% are overweight or obese.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's crazy.
What's OECD?
That's the
developed countries.
Oh, that's economic. Not good.
Yeah, so like not counting the poor countries.
So America would be one. That's really bad, guys.
The Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development.
Okay.
And 35 countries signed onto it in 1960.
They want men to start talking about health and exercise chips. And everything because...
They want us to talk about chips.
Like when girls get together, we all talk about our diets and boys and like cooking, like healthy things to make and stuff. But guys don't do that so much.
We're together
so
for saying, a beer, don't we?
Well, yeah, when you get together, not much of the chat revolves around healthy eating or looking after your body.
There needs to be a lot of things men discuss more openly with other men.
Yeah.
Like... How they're doing mentally, like mental health, health in general.
Yeah.
Like, talk to your mate about the state of his balls, like lumps and bumps and
fleet is that
unusual growths. Why did I say growths?
Do you need to do that? Like, we don't talk about the check, state of our...
No, you need to say that it's a thing that you need to check.
Yeah.
Because, I was talking to somebody at work and they're like, oh, I never check. I'm like, well, you're a bloody madman. Why not?
You simply must.
It's a great excuse to have a good fondle down there. Like, give it a good in-depth search. So who's above us then if we're third? Because I'm looking, my guess.
Got to be America.
Australia.
Got to be America and Australia.
It doesn't give me a listing on who is
because
above
it's us. Because it's Men's Health Month, isn't it? June. That's why this kind of stat's out there floating.
You'd definitely say America is number one.
But I'm just looking at the other countries.
That's quite scary, isn't it?
Yeah, 70%.
But then what do they count as overweight? Like, because I've got like a little pucks.
You're not overweight. You're not overweight.
But do they do, but is it counted by BMI? Because, you know, half the all,
then the All Blacks, 70% of the All Blacks would be
overweight. And they're not
all of them, actually.
Haven't they thrown out BMI because of that reason? Yeah, the All Blacks are all obese. Just United States, do you know who's second if we're third?
Australia.
Might surprise you. Mm-mm, not Australia.
Mexico?
Yes. Mexico.
Yeah, but come on, tacos burritos.
Tacos burritos.
Enchiladas. Churros.
Oh, churros.
Nobody's
blaming you, Mexico.
No, everyone can overlook that because all of their national dishes are so delicious.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
Bit of a legendary actor died over the weekend. Adam West, who was the original Batman in the 1960s Batman TV series, The Super Camp. Batman TV series.
Yeah.
Where he had Robin, and Robin was literally wearing not much on the bottom half of his body. If you've seen Lego Batman, pretty much homage to that Robin. Yep. He died over the weekend, 88 years old. But I guess, even as a kid, I remember watching that Batman, and that was old even then. It had been around for like 25 years.
Is that the one that has like pow?
Yeah.
Pow! But droom! And like an orchestra was playing along with the fight scenes.
With the grey and navy blue Batman costume.
Yeah, oh, it was a classic Batman costume.
Well, you'd watch it now and it would be funny. Whereas back hilarious. Then it would have been like
pretty groundbreaking.
Yeah.
Badass.
To see on television, to see fights and stuff on television would have been pretty outrageous back in the day. But more recently, probably better known as Mayor Adam West of Family Guy.
Mayor West, what are you doing here?
I'm being a rascal and ringing people's doorbells and running away.
Then what are you still doing here?
It's my first house. I'm not very good at this.
I didn't know he was voicing Family Guy well into his 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, if he was 88, how long would he have been doing that for? That's crazy.
And Funny or Die reshared a video they made in 2008 where he was playing himself selling stuff from the Batcave.
Outside. Oh, the Batcave garage sale.
Yeah, the Batcave garage sale. He didn't mind taking the mickey out of himself.
No, not at all.
So, yeah, I think Seth MacFarlane tweeted yesterday, a whole lot of celebs, that, you know, it was a sad day because apparently he was just a lovely guy. Also, we lost the guy who invented the Hawaiian pizza over the weekend.
Aww. Someone consider him to be a pizza pioneer. Others would consider him to have...
Sacrilege.
Committed the ultimate crime against pizza.
So Sam was his name. He died 83. He was Canadian. Canadian man invented the Hawaiian pizza.
Really?
Yeah.
I just assumed it was Hawaiian.
It was in Hawaii that was...
Is it one of those things though? It was cold in Canada, so he put pineapple on a pizza to make it feel a bit more like, guys, I know it's cold, but we're in Canada and we can feel like we're eating in Hawaii.
Well, he apparently immigrated to Canada from Greece in 1954 when he was 20. He went on to own several restaurants with his brothers in Canada. It was at one of those restaurants in 1962 that he decided to add canned pineapple to pizza. And so, yeah, apparently, yeah.
Had he ever, did he ever go to Hawaii? Was there like Greece, Canada?
Say, it doesn't say.
Not any stops up at Hawaii.
But yeah, that's how that started, apparently. And people found out this restaurant was doing it, started copying him, and that's kind of how it took off.
Right.
Majority of people must like it, though, for it to be taken off like that. Now it's like...
See, still around.
Love it or hate it.
It might be offensive to say, but I can always do a slice of Hawaiian.
I like pineapple on my pizza.
I couldn't ever justify not ordering like a Meat Lovers or a Supreme in place, you know, ordering a Hawaiian in place of those. But if somebody got a Hawaiian and offered me a slice, I'd always take it.
you wouldn't say no.
It's pizza. Come on.
ZM's Fledge, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
It's now been Thursday. So let's just count Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We'll count today, Monday, 4 days. And Caitlin still doesn't have feeling back in her toes. From Thursday night's antics.
It's just one toe now.
Well, it started as four toes, eh?
Yeah, there was four toes when I woke up on Friday. And then it's the second toe on the left foot. I've completely lost all feeling in it.
It's from your heels, right, on our function Thursday night?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, because I was, like, freaking out, and Mum didn't make it any better. She's like, what if you have to get it amputated? But then...
She's a health professional.
Yeah, Mama Jane, nothing to worry about.
I know, but she was just saying that, because she's like, I mean, you don't even need to wear heels anyway. That's ridiculous. Look how tall you are. And I was like, but you do, because it's a dress-up event. You have to wear heels. So I put a message on my Instagram yesterday, just my Meister, and said, is this happening? Happen to any other girls, please help me, because I'm like really stressing out. Half of the people that I talk to say like, oh, you know, it might be broken, or you should probably go see the doctor, that's really bad. But this actually happens to like majority of girls.
Those are people who never wear heels. For those of us who are like heel professionals, you can probably get numb toes quite a bit.
One girl.
But why would you wear them that much?
It's
then?
Not good, probably.
So my thing was, Fletch, that I didn't want to be that girl in the club at 2 o'clock on a Thursday night with no shoes on. Zoe, promo Zoe, woke up and was picking glass out of her feet all morning.
Why don't you wear some comfortable comfs or something?
Oh yes,
some nice
some hush puppies.
Some
yeah,
with her like fancy dress.
Guys aren't looking at the shoes.
No, but...
Not when the nuns were out like they were.
Born.
They were.
I know they were. It was... Thank you, though.
But... okay, so say there's a...
Born. But say thank there's you,
a, but say, thanks for the compliment.
Born. Thank you for noticing.
But say there was a function this Thursday or Friday.
Yeah.
Would you go through the same pain again?
This is the thing. I don't know when I'm next going to be able to wear heels. Because I like this was terrifying over the weekend.
You can wear heels straight away because your toes are already numb, so it won't hurt.
Yes.
It's taking away the pain.
I think I'm going to do that thing that we did for Megan's life hack a while ago and like tape my toes together.
So totally
it helps. But I went and got a massage because I was like, I need some feeling back in my feet. And yeah, you could feel like when she was touching the ball of my feet that it was like shooting up into my toes. I know.
No.
But like beauty is pain, right?
Yeah.
Beauty is pain.
I don't suffer at all for my craft of beauty.
Of what? For what?
Of beauty.
Yours.
What? Beauty.
Right.
Beauty. Yeah, I don't need
when
it.
When are you going
to
start
suffer?
Getting into the... beauty regime.
Oh, I'm already well involved. Very like I'm in.
I know. I like. I'm sure there are comfortable heels. I just like mine went with my
you
dress.
You had those ones where it's got one strap that clench all your toes together down the bottom. Yeah, but it happens a lot.
Gumboots.
Yeah,
just
well,
an
if
option.
We could start
just trying to think of
trend.
Comfortable footwear. Jandals.
Don't Crocs do heels? They do a step toe, don't they? They do a
just
step. Yeah.
Oh, so great. Let's all wear those.
Please.
Crocs.
Come on.
Scumps.
I'd rather not have any feeling in my feet for the rest of my life than
wear Crocs. Fickle. Fickle.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan. The podcast.
It's the top six.
Top six today is to do with Tom Cruise's in town, filming Mission Impossible 6 or some scenes of it. Apparently, Queenstown's mountain range plays a perfect. Iraq.
There's been a few of those shot in Queenstown.
Do you know, it's a shame. I think it's. I've seen your dad's photos of Iran because he came when
Afghanistan.
Was it Afghanistan?
Yeah.
He came through Afghanistan on the way down when
Amazing.
He moved to New Zealand back in the day. And it's beautiful. And you see pictures of Iran and it's insanely gorgeous. Like you think Queenstown's amazing. The mountain ranges up there are something else.
But yeah, there's just lots of bombs and stuff now, isn't there?
Yeah, it's not like
sadly.
Super great for travelling because of
This is so ignorant. I didn't know that it was snowy.
Well, yeah, it's just the elevation. It's kind of where the Himalayas peter out.
Right.
That insane mountain range kind of goes up through the back of Iran.
So he's
going
to, in the new Mission Impossible, pretend that he's in Iraq, but it'll actually be our Queenstown.
Yes.
Oh.
And so, his private jet's on the tarmac at Queenstown Airport.
Oh,
he was seen getting out of it
playing
the weekend.
Queenstown, whose private jet is that when you land?
Yeah.
Search the tail number and try to work out who it is. Often they've just hired them. So today's top six is the top six things in Queenstown that will be playing a role as their Iraqi counterparts.
Mm.
Number six, onsen hot pools.
Oh, okay.
They will be playing the role of an Iraqi torture device where if you sit in liquid and it fully surrounds you as it starts getting hotter, you have to drink a sweet bubbly mixture that starts to make you feel a little bit lightheaded. All while looking at the barren wasteland of high country mountains.
Oh, tough.
Sounds awful.
Yeah, tough torture. Bloody awful. Yeah. I'd hate to do it. Number five on today's top six, Queenstown's town centre will be playing the Iraqi town of Suleymaniyya.
Okay.
It's an Iraqi town also surrounded by mountain ranges.
Mm.
We just have to Photoshop out the lake and add that sepia filter and we're actually in business.
Good. Okay, excellent.
Simple. Couldn't be easier.
Yep.
Number four on the list of the top six things in Queenstown that will be playing their Iraqi counterparts in Mission Impossible 6. The cafes at Queenstown Airport will play the role of evil Iraqi airport cafes. Not much needs to be changed there as the amount they charge for a simple ham and cheese toastie is already criminal enough.
Brilliant.
Number three on the list, Cecil Peak. Now, this is the, when you're in Queenstown Town Centre and you look across the lake, you can see that. Beautiful.
Oh, yeah, beautiful.
Beautiful mountain over the lake.
Mm.
So that's Cecil Peak. It will be playing an evil Iraqi rebel leader's under volcano secret base.
Ooh, good. Okay.
It looks quite volcano-y.
Yep.
Just put some smoke special effects coming at the top.
Yeah.
Like when Nuttahoe played Mount Doom in Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, brilliant.
Like that wasn't an actual volcano filled with lava, but Peter Jackson made it look like it.
He did.
Number two on the list of the top six things in Queenstown that will be playing their Iraqi counterparts, a juicy camper van.
Yeah.
Will be playing a mobile counterterrorism unit.
Okay.
Headquarters.
Okay.
Your IT specialist spread on the spacious double bed.
Yeah.
The driver behind the easy to navigate wheel.
Yeah.
And of course, they're well equipped for those dusty Iraqi roads. Yes, juicy campers, you got it right. I'd like to take the family away for a week.
Is it still green?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
okay, good.
Yes. Yeah. Mentioning them so you can get a free camper van.
I'd love a free camper. I'd love to take the kids away for a little camper. A little camper van.
I couldn't imagine anything worse than being stuck with kids in a camper van.
Being stuck with me in a camper van.
And you.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Poor Sade.
How does your wife feel? Out and hitchhike home. And the number one thing today in today's top six that is in Queenstown that will be playing its Iraqi counterpart is Ferg Burger.
Ooh.
Ferg Burger will be playing the role of Al Falafel Burgzino. A humble burger outlet that specializes in falafel burgers, loved by tourists, terrorists, and locals alike.
Brilliant.
That's today's top six.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn, and Megan, the podcast.
Well, you're probably looking around your house just thinking I could choke on anything here after my sort of warning of doom.
That was like one of those current events shows.
Yeah.
Like warning.
Tonight on The Current Affair. A terrifying thing in your home could be trying to kill you. Join us at 7. So this is a fidget spinner.
Yep.
A fidget spinner. No. I remember when you might remember me telling you they put a soft ban in place at my daughter's school.
Yeah. That's right. Which is where...
You're not going to get, in big trouble for taking it to school, but they don't want you to bring it to school.
Please
don't bring them to
and
school.
And use it at lunchtime, not in the class.
Oh, yeah, certainly none in the class.
Okay.
Is there
none
a
the
hard class. Ban on those yet?
I haven't heard the developments on any ongoing ban.
Well, I see them everywhere. Like, you can't, every shop you go into, even my local supermarket's got a big bin of them set up.
I
and
know,
they're
it's
like
crazy,
$7. And you see people buying them just because they're like, I've got to have one.
Like, Chinese manufacturers went into overdrive on those.
Yeah.
And they just went crazy. So a girl in America has officially choked on a fidget spinner, the metal ring on the outside. So the one that acts just as a weight.
Right.
That came off. I don't know what she was doing with it in her mouth, but maybe she was balancing it on her nose.
Or it just could have flicked up. I mean, it's spinning. It could just...
She could have just been sucking on it.
She could have been sucking on it. Because that's the other thing about it. The shape, the rounded shape does probably make for a good...
Little sucking shape.
And it came off and she choked on it. And there was attempts to dislodge it. However, she ended up swallowing it instead.
Oh. That'd be a good x-ray.
It is. Look, I got an x-ray. Just let me unplug the thing. You can see his, you can see his spine.
Oh, my God. Yeah, wow.
You can see his spine here. I think this black stuff's poo. From when I had an x-ray, they were like, I was like, where's the poo?
I don't know if the shows up in an x-ray.
It's not poo. He commented on my x-ray and was like, there's a big old poo to the side. It's not poo.
I thought it was poo.
It's not poo.
An x-ray woman told me there was, I was like, where's the poo? She was like, the dark black bits.
It's not a poo.
A poo.
No.
That can't be.
It looks like a turd.
Right,
anyway, okay, she's got it in her. And it's kind of around where the fidget thing is, so that would mean that she's about to turd out the fidget spinner. But
well, that's
I think
good
you just
news.
Let it go. You're not going to sieve that out, are you, to get that back? It's not a wedding ring.
No.
Nah, you probably just poop it and flush it.
Yeah.
But I'd love to know, I mean, you'd have to, you will have survived to tell us the tale of what you choked on, but I'd like to know this morning what you've choked on. Perhaps the least... sort of things that don't belong in your mouth, like a fidget spinner.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I choked on a piece of steak. A lot of people choke on steak because you're always putting steak in your mouth and swallowing it before you've chewed it sufficiently.
I don't think I've ever had a moment where I always choke on my apple when I eat my apple because the little bits gets caught at the back. But I've never, been like, oh, my God, I'm going to die because something's stuck in my mouth.
On the same line as an apple, I've choked on the Apple TV remote. You know how they're really little?
Very small.
Yeah.
What was that doing in your mouth?
Well, I was actually saying to my daughter, who always has it in her mouth, I was like, this is what will happen. And I was like, see how you could just choke on it. And then I was like, and it went in, and I was like,
Well, you've got to demonstrate, don't you?
And they thought it was a demon, and it scared them, and they don't put it in their mouth anymore.
So I was like,
see, that's what Dad meant to do.
they cannot Heimlich you, so be very careful.
I was going to have to Heimlich myself on the bench of the on the arm of the couch. Just, So, yeah. Choked on anything?
Food. So, I remember choking on broccoli when I was little because the stalks, you know, if you don't cook them long enough, they're very stringy.
Stringy and hard.
So I had broccoli down my throat and was choking. My mum had to pull it out. That's very unpleasant. But I've never
just
choked
pull it
on.
Out. So yeah. She had to get her fingers in your mouth.
Producers, anyone ever?
Well, I have, this is actually numerous occasions I've done this.
Right.
The skin on sausage, you know, it's it's not real, it's almost plasticky.
Yeah,
sort of
there can be a synthetic one. Yeah, go on.
When they fail to cut the sausages in two, so I've got two connected sausages.
Oh, they're joint.
Why didn't you cook them before you cook them?
Yeah, but I think it was just when you're cooking numerous sausages in a pan, you're just throwing them all around.
I quite like to cook them all connected.
Oh, okay.
And I was eating two sausages and the connection in the middle got halfway. So I swallowed the one end.
Yeah, and it was trying to drag the start of the next sausage
down. I'm still eating it, yeah. And it happened on numerous occasions as well.
And your mum and dad has done two sausages again, hasn't he?
No, I'm in the feeling this was after he left home too.
Yeah. I don't know if my mum and dad were there to save me.
Yeah,
I had that split second either had to choke it up or I had to
grown ass man's
myself
mistake.
To swallow the other one.
When James left at home, his mum always cut up his food for him.
Oh, right. Because why aren't you portioning the sausages and cutting them up before you...
When you have sausage and bread, you can just do two sausages instead of doing one.
A loaf of bread is long enough to accommodate two sausages.
No, you put them on top of each other. So
they
could, yeah, that's
okay,
true.
Okay, well, we want in this morning, 0800 dials at M 9696. Take your calls. When have you nearly choked to death? What did you accidentally swallow? Was it a fidget spinner like this girl who has a great x-ray to show? Maybe you've got a great x-ray to show for
it as
well.
Because you ended up swallowing it rather than spitting it out.
Yeah.
0800 dials at M 9696. What'd you choke on?
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
Fletch, Vaughn and Megan, a girl in America has accidentally swallowed, nearly choked as well to death on a fidget spinner, which a metal part that broke off.
Yeah, the balancing bit on the outside, the weighty bit that gets it really spinning around. So we want to know what you've choked on. Perhaps
it was a toy, maybe it was food.
Yeah. Some somebody said my brother swallowed a safety pin. He got the x-ray to prove it, and it's the big thing of if it becomes unclipped at any time, it goes from just something that you've standardly swallowed that will pass through to popping it out. But it got caught. He was sucking on something, and the safety pin came off and went into stroke. And so he was choking on it, but nobody knew what to do because if you reached in and tried to grab it out, if it had already popped open, it was stuck. So he just had to leave it there, and it eventually ended up swallowing it. And he's got an x-ray to prove it. And on that x-ray, you can probably see some dark sort of hard matter. It looks like a poop. It's a poop.
Did any x-ray, what do you call them, technicians, did they back you up on that? Can you see the poop?
No, I haven't heard from any. I'd love to hear from them. Can you see the poop on an x-ray?
I'm going to Google it.
Somebody else said, my partner almost choked to death on apple juice, which sounds like the most ridiculous thing.
Yeah.
But how do you... Well, they, you know when you drink something and it goes down the wrong pipe, the old saying goes?
Yeah, yeah.
And you choke on it. They said it was almost like the death of them. They didn't know what was going on.
Kelsey, what did you nearly choke on?
I nearly choked on a piece of sushi on my birthday.
Sushi, okay.
Okay, all right.
So you kind of get it, that's always, it's so soft. The rice is soft, the salmon is soft.
You don't get it.
Okay.
Okay, so you know how the rice is like stuck to the seaweed?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was in this really fancy sushi restaurant on my birthday, and I was like, I don't need to chew this, so I swallowed it, and everything went down fine except for the seaweed. So I had this really long piece of seaweed stuck down my throat with rice on it, and this little bit was sticking out of my mouth, and I was, like, choking, and I couldn't breathe, and I was in this really fancy restaurant. And so I bent over my plate. I grabbed the seaweed that was in my mouth. Like, it was, I had to reach it down to get it, and I yanked it out.
Oh, yeah, that's great. You know you're allowed to chew in a fancy restaurant.
No, it was all the way down my, like, esophagus.
You're like Producer James and his sausage joints. People are going to chew
smaller
more.
Smaller portions.
Somebody chew more.
Jess, what happened?
So I was at uni, like, eating my lunch just as usual.
Yeah.
And I was having a salad. I'm like, you know how messy when, like, some of it's got, like, those long-ass stalks?
The long stalky bits, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was halfway down my throat and half in my mouth. And so I just pull it out and it's awful.
Oh. And did you think that this is it? This is how I die?
Yeah, and it was really embarrassing as well because obviously in a uni library there are so many people around.
And there's no, like, gracious way to pull mesclun out of your throat.
No, not at all.
Also, why are you a student eating mesclun? It's a very ooh-la-la salad for a student.
It was just at home.
Now, sometimes it's the cheapest thing you can get because it kind of grows throughout winter as well, so you might be out of iceberg or fancy season.
And some of those packet stuff you buy from the supermarket, some of them are really long. Yeah. I can see why.
Yeah, that's what it was, the packet stuff.
Yeah.
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 Will you be careful, Jess?
Thank you.
So this is why you should eat just takeaways, eh?
I reckon. Yeah.
No one's ever died eating a burger.
And if they have, I don't want to hear about it.
Hey, thanks, Jess.
Thank you.
Emma, what was it that you choked on?
I choked on toothpaste.
That's I get that because toothpaste will surprise you if it sneaks down a little bit because it's very minty.
Right, yeah, so you thought this is it. This is how I die, choking on toothpaste.
Well, I was going to the toilet and I thought, well, I'll go to the toilet and brush my teeth at the same time, like two birds, one stone.
Yes, that's a hygiene.
You might as well do something.
And it was springtime, so I have hay fever. So while I was brushing, I managed to sneeze, and the toothpaste went down my throat. And so while I was peeing, I was choking on this toothpaste going right in the face, and like I couldn't pull my undies or jeans up because I was just like falling over everywhere trying to get to the water basin. My partner walked past the hallway. He's like, oh, my God, what's going on?
You're foaming at the mouth on the toilet.
I was dripping and I was just, like, trying to drip dry everywhere.
Okay.
He was like, do I call the ambulance? And I was like, oh. Ended up going to the sink to get water down my throat. And by the time I got that all out, I ended up vomiting because I burnt so bad down the throat.
Oh my God.
So don't do that, eh?
Don't do that. Brush your teeth and then go to the toilet. All right.
Oh my God.
Thanks, Emma.
Some text messages. I was drinking a Coke. I forgot I had a straw inside the bottle. Took a sip. The straw just slid straight down my throat.
Oh.
At least you can breathe through that.
Megan's got a point, yeah. start whistling a little
tiny
bit.
Tiny little breaths. And then when you bend your neck, that clicky bit also bends with it. So, I mean, it's not the worst thing to swallow. Nachos were banned in our house because every time my brother would choke on corn chips, they'd get lodged sideways in his throat.
Chew them.
My brother choked on bacon rind. He was so excited to be eating bacon, he didn't chew it properly. And you know how bacon rind can stick.
Yeah, you always take that.
Went straight back to eating bacon when we dislodged that from his throat. Somebody swallowed an entire Kinder Surprise, plastic egg and all. That's I assume, from a snake who's messaged that in.
A python.
I was there when my friend got rushed to A&E because they were choking on a fish bone.
Now,
this is quite dangerous, choking on a fishbone. Okay. Got there, you know, they were prepping for surgery, did an x-ray to see whereabouts it was, and they'd swallowed the parsley stalk. That wasn't it. Wasn't a fishbone at all. It was a parsley stalk.
Embarrassing, isn't it?
A radiographer's messaged in.
Oh, here we go.
The dark bits are actually farts.
Really?
The dark bits are actually air. Which are fine.
So it's still on your level.
The whiter areas are a compacted fecal matter. So the white bits of the poo.
So in my x-ray, that big black
was
bit.
A big fart.
God, you're gassy.
That was a so huge fart.
Because I'm a lady and I never fart. I was holding it in.
Geez, you're lucky you held that thing in because released that at the wrong time. There'd be a lot of people choking.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
Now, on Friday, it's our last show before we take a couple of weeks mid-year break.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, yesterday, because, you know, I'm very organised and I have my itineraries.
I bought a little travel wallet for my itineraries. I thought I'm going to, take a leaf from Fletcher's book, get everything
sorted. You bought one?
Yeah.
No, because I steal those clear plastic files at work and just put them in that, print them out.
No, but then I want, something compact that I can put in my handbag. Little.
But this just sounds
just amazed you guys have got a list of things you do on holiday. Well before holiday starts.
No, it's just like the itineraries, Vaughn.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Your wife does it too, though, doesn't she?
No, I think she just keeps it on her phone. She's got an email.
Yeah, right. Well, no, I've got most of it on my phone. I just had to print out a couple of tickets.
But then you guys do holidays that involve, stops and internal flights.
Planes and trains and boats.
Yeah. So this is, I was getting a few things ready over the weekend just because, I had a bit of time. And then that was when I had the thought of my pillow. Because do you know when you go away and you're staying in some weird place, you don't always get a good pillow.
No.
You might get a real thin one. I don't like the real thin ones.
It's Goldilocks.
Yeah.
It's the Goldilocks situation. Mm. The pillow could be too big. It could be too small. Mm. It could be too hard. It could be too soft. It's hard to find the perfect pillow.
Mm.
Especially if you don't stay in very nice hotels.
Yeah, exactly. So you've got to take a nice pillow.
Yeah.
So I'm contemplating taking my favorite pillow in the whole world. In the whole time I've been alive, this is my favourite pillow. When this RIPs, I'll be inconsolable.
But then why haven't you found, when you find a good pillow, you buy a few more?
Oh, yeah. Well, I know the brand and stuff. So it's a memory foam.
Yeah, they might start making it. You should have acted.
I think the thing is, the memory foam pillows, where it's at. So, because I always poo-pooed memory foam. I was like, oh, they're just a fad, but they're actually amazing. They're so good.
No.
Now when you stay somewhere else, you use a spongy pillow, whatever that is in those, and you just it's just not cutting the mustard.
Right.
So I'm contemplating taking my pillow on holiday, but is that weird?
I would just be worried about space and are you going to put it in your bag or are you going to literally carry it with you?
No, I'm not going to carry it on because those people that carry on pillows onto planes are weird. They give you a pillow, don't they? I mean, I know it's tiny and rubbish, but...
You want to take a pillow on holiday, but you don't want to be a person that takes a pillow on holiday because they're weird.
No, because I can hide my pillow in my suitcase and not be judged.
Right, yeah, but that takes up a big portion of your suitcase.
This is the problem. And it would be nearly a kg, right? A memory foam pillow would be quite heavy, They're not light. They'd be maybe 700-800 grams.
Yeah.
So
but then
it's
per square inch of weight. Not that much. It's more the room it's taking up in your suitcase than the weight of it.
It would probably take up one side of my suitcase.
Yeah.
This is
which, shoes and clothes would take up more weight, but less space. What a first world problem.
It is such a first world problem.
Am I going to take my favourite pillow on me?
my
big vacation.
But do you think it's
woe
weird?
Woe is me, world, woe is me.
So I shouldn't do it?
I just think it's impractical because Yeah. I'm deciding which. I've got it down to 7 pairs of shoes, and they cannot all come either.
Why do you need 7 pairs of shoes?
Why do you need your memory foam pillow?
Because you sleep on it every day.
I wear these every day.
Well, just wear, take 2 pairs. A nice pair and a comfy pair for walking.
No.
What of your 7 pairs, what do they do?
Well, 2 are different coloured, like, heels for different outfits.
I only need one of them, okay.
No, because one's just brown, and one brown outfit. Doesn't go with everything.
Take one outfit, problem solved.
No.
And just wear the one outfit.
And then I've got cute flats for just like tottering around. Mm. And then I've got like sneakers for like serious walking around.
Yeah, I hate when I run into someone in a country and they're like, you were wearing that in that other country.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's so embarrassing.
God, it's like you could only take so much of your wardrobe with you on this around the world trip. It's disgusting. You're revolting. Stop wearing clothes more than once.
I think I'm going to take like 4 t-shirts for 2 weeks.
What?
Who cares?
I'm taking half a t-shirt.
Yeah. Same shorts and same jandals. That's how you rock it, Megan. You're listening to the Fleetch, Vaughn & Megan podcast, brought to you by the team at My Republic.
Yeah. One Republic. With hit songs such as Apologize.
It's My Republic.
Yeah,
that's One Republic.
That's One Republic.
So I'm not here to promote the 2007 album Dreaming Out Loud.
No.
That actually makes a lot of sense. Yeah. I'll just stop this now then.
Okay.
Yeah, My Republic have no limits, but I sure do. If you're sick of limits, sign up to My Republic using the promo code podcast and you'll get a month free on top of what is already a great deal.
Great news. Huge news. Huge. The best news. Taylor Swift is on Spotify finally.
Did you put it on over the weekend?
Oh, hell's yours, girl. So she's had she kind of spoke out against streaming things and how they weren't paying enough money, but let's face it, it was totally so you'd buy her album.
Yeah.
She made a stand against Spotify.
She did. It was a pretty, like, for whatever reason, it was pretty ballsy when everyone's listening to music on Spotify.
Weren't Apple Music paying her a ton of money? Yeah.
I don't think she was against all streaming. Anyway,
unless they're paying her lots of money, I think.
Lots of people assumed Taylor Swift put all of it. This is all of Taylor Swift's back catalogue is on Spotify now. They assumed it was a timing thing, so when Katy Perry's album came out.
Assumed.
Taylor Swift was everywhere.
So at the exact same time that Katy Perry's album comes out.
And like, she's doing her 96-hour live stream witness video.
I believe so.
Taylor Swift releases your entire back catalogue at the same time.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah,
interesting.
So already, this has only been up for a couple of days.
Yeah.
Love Story, which is great, a great taste-wise song. That's had 76 million streams.
In a couple of days. Jeez.
You Belong With Me?
Yep.
54 million streams.
Is that counting? Because was she on there before she took a stand and then took her music off?
Because those are the couple of older songs. So maybe Shake It Off has had 71 million streams.
That wasn't,
so that's off 1989. Okay. Next down, I Knew You Were Trouble. That's had 40 million streams.
Jeez.
Blank Space, insane. 1.5 million streams.
So just over the
just
weekend.
By, even if they're not paying much for per stream on Spotify, because that's the big thing, eh? Like,
Have they changed how much they're going to pay artists, or she's just decided
I don't know,
she doesn't
maybe
care
she
anymore?
Struck a deal, or maybe she doesn't care anymore because all of her albums have been out for so long now. But imagine how much money she would have made over the weekend, even if they're not paying much with those sorts of streaming figures up there.
My only issue with Taylor is that she picks and chooses when she wants to fight these battles. You know?
She's
like, I'm going to stand up against these streaming things, blah, 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 and they don't change a thing. And then suddenly, oh no, actually, I'm back on it right when Katy Perry releases her album. Oh, and actually, I have made quite a bit of money because there's so many million streams. She was like standing up for the little
she's
guy,
awesome.
And then she's like, oh no, stuff the little guy.
But no, you're forgetting the greatest fact here, Megan, is when we're on a road trip and we're listening on Spotify, and then the girls, my daughters, are like, we want to listen to Taylor Swift. We've got to go out of Spotify and open up YouTube. And then the YouTube version of Blank Space has got the Kendrick Lamar rapping in it, which I personally don't
like. I can't believe
so now
you're
it's
allowed.
All in one great space.
We were never allowed as kids to pick the road trip music. It was always mum and dad's music, and it was old and lame.
Yeah.
Really? No, it's easier. I don't know. It's a battle that if you...
Because it just keeps them quiet.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, fair
enough. And they pick music. It's when they're like, well, now we want the Wiggles. You're like, oh, can we have a few more of these ones
first? Just say no.
No, because then it's easier than...
You're such a walkover.
Can wear wiggles, can wear wiggles, can wear... Pick and choose your battles. And you know what? The Wiggles have got some absolute jams. Some absolute timeless jams. Do the Propeller, one of their more recent releases, but it's an absolute jam.
Nothing, nothing like a hot potato buzzing along the Waikato Expressway.
Cold bananas, smash spaghetti, whatever it is. Yeah, it's all there, mate. It's all there.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
At the end of what I'm about to tell you, I'll tell you the conclusion I've come to.
Right.
About the future of cakes for Smith children birthdays. Okay. Do I continue making them or do we continue to pay a professional to make them? I'll tell you that conclusion at the end.
That's how this all started, isn't it?
Yeah. Because I said to Shadows, like, the kids, they don't really care. They just like something like a colourful cake.
Yep.
They don't care who's made it. These cakes are more for us than they are for the kids. She said, no, well, you'll make a horrible job of it. So anyway, that's when I said, well, we're going to put them against and let August choose which cake she wants to do party.
Mm.
So let me take you back to Friday after we left here. I went home. I lay on the couch for quite a while and then finally gave myself enough of a push to make these cakes.
Yep.
So I had box cake mix. Now, to add to those, I needed eggs. We didn't have enough eggs, so I had to go get eggs.
Yep.
So I got home and I started making them. The whole video of this is on our Facebook page, by the way. Facebook.com/FVMZM. It's in a two-parter. But you'll see why and you'll hear why just now.
I think you may have some kind of Guinness record for the world's longest Snapchat story.
Snapchat, sorry, it was 11 minutes.
Once I started, like...
Oh, I know.
It was like a train wreck.
You didn't know where it was going.
It was like reality train wreck television.
Yeah.
In the
Thank
kitchen.
So instead of making the cake, that all went pretty good.
Yeah.
Greased the pans. A lot of people said I used too much butter when greasing the pans, but those cakes.
I did think that. I wasn't going to criticize.
Those cakes just tapped straight out. If I hadn't, they might have stuck. So cakes got made. Did the dishes. Listened to a little Tina Turner along the way.
Again, that's in the snap story. I wondered why you chose Tina Turner.
Powerful woman.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah, of course.
Powerful
yeah.
woman. I just felt in the mood for a little bit of Tina.
Yeah.
So then I Googled how cold does a cake have to be before you decorate it? Like, it has to be pretty cold, right? You can't walk around decorating it. A warm cake's and it's a bloody disaster. So I left it, went and picked up August from school, went to a special assembly for Indy.
Yeah.
Who got a gold certificate? Don't want to brag about it.
Did you cry at that?
No, I didn't. I'll tell you.
Good.
Another time on the show. Write that down, Caitlin, why I didn't cry in the assembly. I was too busy laughing. Let's schedule that in about an hour from now. And came home and the cake was cool, so I enlisted their help. We had some fondant, which is actually very hard to work with. It said sprinkle icing sugar on the bench, so I did. But, man, I went through like a whole bag of icing sugar because it kept sticking to the rolling pin and the thing. God. And so then it was a very – so then I cut the cake up, decorated it all, made some jelly and put that in the fridge to set.
Yep.
Shaped it, covered it in the fondant. And I was getting pretty cocky at this stage because it actually looked, I was pretty stoked with how it looked.
It did look pretty good.
Put the blue fondant as the base of the, am I saying that right? Fondant?
Yeah, that's right.
Fondant as the base of the ocean.
Your Moana cake was to have a sea.
Yes.
And the jelly was going to be the sea.
Yes.
Okay.
The jelly was going to be the sea, but I wanted to put blue underneath it. So the blue fondant, and then the brown surrounds. The island looked great. I got this yellow sugary stuff and some biscuit crumbs and made the sand and the beach. But then I was like, I can't present this to August to choose without the jelly in it. I can't do it. I got ahead of myself. I felt confident. She said she really liked it without the jelly. I was like, well, here comes the piece of la resistance. Cut up the jelly, poured it in, put the Maui and Moana figurines on there, and she was blown away. So at about 5 o'clock on Friday afternoon, 6 o'clock, August picked my cake over the professional's cake.
Right. Did she really?
She did. Yeah, she loved it.
Did she though?
She did.
She was torn.
She actually thought my cake was the cake the cake maker made. Because
right.
I was like, because she'd seen me make the cake. So she picked, so I put it in the fridge.
Yeah.
Because the jelly, you can't leave jelly at room temperature. It'll melt.
No.
Well, overnight the jelly melted the fondant and it went all through the fridge. rendering. So Saturday morning when we woke up and Indy spewed with excitement.
Yeah.
She gets a bit like Megan's excited. She spewed. And everything was going terribly wrong. I actually just had to abandon the cake.
Because throw the cake, it out.
I had to throw it out. It got binned. Because the fondant had melted. The jelly had gone all through the fridge. The jelly had also like made this weird like colour with the fondant.
Right.
And it also seeped into the cake and made the cake very soggy and unstable.
Right.
And I just didn't have the time before the party to re-fondant and make more jelly, so...
When is a good time to tell you that fondant doesn't like moisture?
Well, it would have been a good time, Megan, if you told me on Friday afternoon...
Don't put it in the fridge.
Nobody told me not to refrigerate fondant. It'll do it right in the cupboard because it sweats, right? And then when it sweats, the moisture affects its structural integrity. So you can imagine its own sweat affecting its structural integrity.
Right.
The moisture of jelly, Carl. The moisture of jelly.
You had a global warming.
The moisture
warming.
Of jelly was the equivalent of jet fuel melting a steel beam.
You had a global warming situation in your fridge.
It was absolutely a trap. I blamed my wife. I was quite angry. I thought she'd sabotaged me. She took the sabotage accusations very seriously.
Right. So you're fighting.
I believe her words were, there's no effing time for your childish carry-on. We've got a party to organise.
Also very secretly happy that the cake
Yeah, because we had agreed to take both parties to the cake, even though I had one as
she
the,
didn't
as
want
the
it.
Victor. I had said.
I wouldn't be surprised if she did poke a hole in it.
I reckon she poked a hole in it.
You've got no one to blame but yourself, mate.
I lack the evidence because I disposed of the crime scene.
I think you need a security camera in your kitchen.
Yes, yes.
In case this happens
again.
Next birthday
cake, mate. I'll set up a security camera to catch this.
Yeah, are you going to be able to make?
So the conclusion to all this is no. Because I actually spent more money on that cake than I did on the professional's cake.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay.
With everything that I needed to buy for it and the time it went into it and everything, it cost me more money and it still ended up in the bin.
So, you can see the whole Snapchat story in two parts on our Facebook page, FVMZM. It really is a disaster. It's a heart-wrenching tale.
Oh, it's an emotional roller coaster. Yeah. It's a real up and down.
Trying to make a cake.
Yeah. Soundtrack kindly supplied by Tina Turner.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
We've talked about this on the show before, about something, and most dog owners would probably be familiar with this in one way or another, but there's a certain thing.
It's really gross.
Megan's dog and my dog have this in common, is that every now and then they need their anal glands expressed.
So most dogs do this by themselves when they go toilet. Number two is that the glands express.
You both have stupid dogs.
Yes.
No, often dogs haven't learned how to do it properly.
Oh, my dog's got no excuse. It's like 10
years old. It's 10 years old, yeah.
Leo's only one.
And
he might still be
learning.
Had
this problem when it was young. It only is developing it later in life. I remember them saying once if it gets too bad, they can actually like surgically remove them.
Oh, just remove them then.
Yeah, I know, like at birth.
Yeah.
Anyway, so these things, they get blocked and the dog can chew or like scoot on its bum and that sort of thing. But you take it to the vet. Fletch, what's the face for?
Oh,
he's just going to be like, you stupid dog.
Get a cat.
You had to get kitty litter because Karen was like, scooting the litter everywhere.
We only just got over the weekend. Fletch is an enabler. He's been feeding his cat almost twice the recommended amount of biscuits, and his cat
is Karen's got
fat.
A little saggy tum-tum.
I know. I weighed my cat. I was like, I've been feeding you a lot of food. Because on the back of the pack, it's got how much your cat weighs and how much you should feed it. And the vet's like, oh, it's always way less than they tell you to feed it. But I was like, almost twice as much the daily food I was giving him.
And Karen's and like 6 kgs.
Is your cat 6 kgs?
No, because I needed to minus the bin, so he's 5.3 kgs and he's a year old.
That's still a sturdy cat. That's bigger than our cat.
That's fat, eh? Like he sleeps on me sometimes and I'm just like,
get off me, get off my chest. Yeah.
So anyway,
we've all got our pet issue, pet owner issues. So this costs like, when we've taken the dog there before, because our dog like chews on its butt and the vet's like, oh yeah, this needs to happen. When we've taken the dog there before, it's cost like $80 because it's a vet appointment. You're taking like 20 minutes of their time. So I'm not expecting it for free. But it is one of those things that seems to happen every like 6 months, every 4 months or
whatever. Like a warrant of fitness with an old dog.
Yeah.
Car.
So Sade said we're going to take the dog to the vet this week before we go away. And I said, I should learn how to do that.
So that's
like $80 that we don't have to spend on this, expecting her, because this is a common conversation in our house. I should just learn to do that, save us money, e.g. make a child's birthday cake. To which she says, don't be stupid, just pay the money, get it done right.
So I'm expecting, don't be stupid.
Yeah.
Pay the money, get it done right. She said, you should actually. I think there's YouTube tutorials on how to do it.
She's okay with you squeezing your dog's anal glands, but not baking cake.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, when I took him to the vet, Leo to the vet, they said, we can teach you to do this so that you can do it yourself. The trouble is, if you've never experienced this, it's ungodly.
Oh, no. Sounds disgusting.
It's a stink like you would never have experienced.
I can't compare it to anything.
Is there someone that's not a vet, like a groomer or a dog washer that would know how to do that? And they'd probably be $20.
Yeah.
Are you thinking about
that? Still like, that's $20 though.
Oh, it shits me every time that dog goes to the groomer. That dog spends more on grooming than I do. Like, yeah, every now and then it gets, because it doesn't lose its hair, so it can get quite knotted, again, so you got to stay on top of it.
Again, you bought a stupid dog.
But I was like, I'll just get some clippers.
Yeah.
And I'll do it myself.
We've all done that.
Yeah.
My dog, he can't go outside at the moment because I bought some clippers and now he's got patches all over his body.
Oh, my God.
But see, worth it if you can save the money.
It's harder than you think.
I would like to know this morning, what did you learn? With the primary reason you learned to do something was to save money.
Well, but that's the thing with YouTube now. You can, anything is on YouTube. Though, bless those people that spend God knows how many hours making a how-to video.
Yeah.
I know a lot of shots
and the eagle eyes.
Yeah.
I always worry that they brush over important details, though. Like, what if you watched this and it was real simple and then you did something bad to your dog? Like you hurt her or something?
Yeah. There's that.
Right.
There's that.
But so it doesn't need to be a dog thing.
No. It doesn't have to even be a pet.
Right.
Thing. It could be anything you learnt to do to save yourself money. Like maybe it was a recurring cost.
Right. You're like, well, I can do this cheaper.
Yeah.
I'll just learn how to do it.
Yeah. Well, basically, if I don't want to deal with the dog's anal glands, I'm going to have to start cutting costs somewhere else. So if you ring up and you're like, I learned to do this and it was relatively easy and I saved money, I can put that on my list of things I can learn to save myself money without having to deal with the stinky stuff.
Okay.
That would be the ideal outcome of this phone and topic.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
What did you learn to do yourself just so that you could save money? Vaughn contemplating learning how to...
The ancient art of anal gland excretion. For dogs, not humans.
Which is costing you $90 at the vet.
Yeah, everybody's saying I'm drastically overpaying for that, but maybe it's...
It's because it's the vet.
You're going for a vet appointment. You're paying for the full vet. And to be honest, they earn every single dollar because the nastiest...
Oh, they get scratched and bitten every day, don't they?
Yeah.
What? Now, people are saying dog groomers do it. So I reckon you just get a combo. A dog groom and a
cut and a squeeze.
A little Lulu.
Yeah. Lulu's after a cut and a squeeze, if that's okay. Somebody else, but lots of people have said they learned to do it as well.
Why would you?
And they said you get used to it. Oh, wow. Well, I'm a vet and I do anal glands for $17.50. God, I could get myself and my dog done for that price. Do I need them?
It just
seems too good a deal to pass up.
$17.50. You need to get those
details.
Because I wouldn't learn to do something for $17.50.
Especially not that.
Even if I was paying that twice a year, I'd gladly pay that to avoid that situation.
Somebody said I learned how to teach spin classes and group fitness classes so I didn't have to pay for a gym membership. So does that mean they're just running... They're the teacher of their own class or they are now holding classes at that gym. Do you get free?
No, they're just that person you see on the bike in the gym yelling at themselves.
Oh, they're doing the encouragement themselves.
Come on, Stacey, pedal harder, it's a hill.
You'll always be a... If you don't work harder, why are you doing this to me? Leave me alone, Stacey. Pedal harder, Stacey. Why are you doing this to me? Good class.
Good ride, team. Nito, good morning.
Morning.
Now, what was this you that learnt to do this or your husband?
No, well, I learnt to do it myself and then I taught my husband so I didn't have to do it.
Okay. Oh. How much? And what exactly was it?
Waxing. So girly bits and armpits and legs.
You taught your husband to wax?
Yep.
Oh, that's good. And what was involved? Putting it on, pulling the skin taut?
Yep.
How was he first time around?
It was terrible. It was agony.
You were like, why did I do this? But is he a pro at it now?
He is a pro. It's fantastic.
I wouldn't get past the first few attempts, though, because they do it wrong, hurt you, you yell at them, give them a smack.
Yeah.
That's the fun of the whole thing.
Really?
It's all about bonding.
Okay.
Bondage or bonding?
No, bonding.
I thought you said bondage. You were like, he hurts me, I hurt him, it's lovely.
I was like, what have we stumbled into here? Thanks, Nita. Becky, what did you learn to do to save money?
I learned how to plaster. Plaster a wall.
Oh, oh wow.
Did this start when there was a party and something went through the wall, Becky?
No, I was real heavily pregnant and I was decorating my baby's room and I saw bubbles in the corner and I was like, oh, what's that? And I started poking at it, as you do, because it's an eyesore.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, my husband was just like, what the F have you done? And I bet you can't do it. So I went to Bunnings, I got everything I needed and I did it.
Anytime someone says, I bet you can't do it, they know the person. They know the person's going to learn to do it.
Exactly.
It's the only reason they say it.
Yeah. Now, Mark, before we find out what exactly it is you save money on, how much did you save here?
About $4 a time.
And how many times do you do this?
Probably about 1,000.
Annually. So how many years have you been doing it?
No, that's part of the story. I thought I'd save all his money, so I went through the training, and it didn't work for me.
Hold on, Mark. We don't even really know what you've learned to do yet. We know how many times you do it and how much it costs, but what was it?
Artificially inseminate cows.
Oh, my dad did that back in the day, and I think it was to save money as well.
That's right. You know, it was all. I thought I'd save a few bucks, but then you line up and you have to do say 80 in the morning, and the arm's dead by the end of it. So I think I did it for about a week, and then that was it. So my huge saving didn't quite pan out.
Well, Mark, for those who don't know, I grew up on a dairy farm, so I've seen it done many times. You have to force generally your right hand all the way inside a cow, don't you?
That's right, yeah, right to the shoulder sometimes.
Up its backside to find whereabouts the bull semen needs to be deposited.
Oh, exactly, but in the most gentle way, of course.
Lubricated, yeah, you're good. I remember my dad had a big bucket o' lube that he just dunk his arm in. And
you can get buckets. Yeah. That sounds cost-effective.
You can, yeah.
Because, you know, the lube at the supermarket's very expensive. Yeah.
And then you literally just open the bucket and dip it straight in. No need for your hands to get sticky.
Stop. Hey, thanks for your call, Mark.
Hey, no problem.
Somebody said I learned to make my own whiskey. Cost $20 a time for 4 litres of 40% whiskey, which is about 160 in a shop. Yeah, but then it's the same with all a couple of home brew makers have messaged to save money on beer. It's like you have saved money, but it's a bit yuck. You can taste that you've saved money. Because my hair is long, I learned to ombre my own hair. It was costing me $260 a pop. I can buy a kit and get it done for $18 in a few hours
of my
time.
Ombre?
So it's like goes from dark to light or, like fades into a different color.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
That. Fixed my own washing machine, car radiator and plumbing from a block pipe, all from YouTube. I'm a very handy woman in her 20s. People often comment on it. It's a thing, a little task around that. You save a lot of money because they charge you the call-out fee. My mum learnt to tile and grout when she wanted to redo the bathroom. She also learnt to strap my dad's ankles because he got too cheap to go to the physio.
Where'd mum go?
I didn't know where that was going for a second either.
What did you think, mate? She learnt to strap my dad. Oh, yeah.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan. The podcast.
Fact of the day. Day, 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 day. Today's fact of the day is about cough syrup.
Okay.
Tis the season.
Yeah.
The cold and flu season. I don't know if people knew this, but I did not know this about certain brands of cough syrup. So that's why I thought today this could be fact of the day. It's about DXM, not DMX going to give it to you. Yeah. Where my dog's at. Not DMX, DXM. This is in a whole bunch of cough syrups. Ones that you're probably familiar with in New Zealand. Robitussin.
Yep.
Robitussin. Vicks Formula 44.
Oh, that's my favourite.
For a cough syrup?
Yeah, just memories. Great
taste
flavor.
Like childhood, eh?
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Mm. You're really reluctant to take it at childhood. More than happy to take a good swig of it now. What else have we got? Tylenol cough and cold? Just Tylenol?
I think it's American brand, isn't it?
There's a lot of American ones. Those are the ones I recognise as I've seen on shelves here.
Yeah.
So this DXM, dextromethorphan, it doesn't actually soothe your cough. It works on your brain, and it targets the threshold at which your brain thinks it needs to cough.
Oh.
So it doesn't soothe your throat or get down there and get in it and stop the dry cough. It works centrally. So you drink it, and it goes into your blood and into your brain, and it effectively goes to your brain. You don't actually need a cough right now. You can hold off till it's way worse. Yeah. Huh. And so you've got a thing called a cough reflex.
Yeah.
And this DXM targets that and dumbs it down without affecting other motor function. That's why you're only supposed to take so many mils of cough syrup. It's not
but it's real yum. I know. Sometimes you just like, I'll just
but
have a big glass.
But if you drank a whole bottle, that's why it's like you can't drink this and work heavy machinery. Because if you drink too much of it, it can dull it down.
Stuff.
Yeah, like breathe.
You don't actually blink. Need to breathe.
Drive
you
on
breathe.
In the left lane.
Wait till you really need to be like, gonna give it to you. And I thought this sounds, it's called a dissociative drug.
Yeah.
Because it works on your brain rather than affect the symptoms. So I asked my brother, who's a pharmacist, and he was very pleased that I was finally asking for help and something. He said, he'll rub this in my face at some stage.
Yeah.
He said, so the cough reflex is in your brain, and it's when there's a tickle or something that makes your brain, you don't even think about it.
Yeah.
Your brain just goes, and it's that constant, that dry cough.
Yeah. Can you trust him? He's not a doctor.
I know, well. ask him and he'll say he spent almost as much time being educated.
You're not a doctor.
Yeah. See, a pharmacist, a problem persists. Really? Shouldn't I see someone qualified like a doctor?
I hate that.
That's just.
You say that to him all
we're
the time.
We're joshing,
don't
of course. We're joshing. For pharmacists listening.
Are you qualified to tell me anything? Like, he loves about vitamins?
Yeah, he does love it.
So, yeah, it targets the reflex in your brain rather than dealing with the symptoms.
Okay.
So today's fact of the day is DMX going to give it to you, but DXM is a dissociative drug that works on the brain to raise your threshold where you think you need to cough.
Fact of the day.
ZM's Fledge, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
I mentioned before when recounting the ups and downs of making my daughter's birthday cake.
Yeah.
That there was a special assembly, but I didn't cry in it.
Which is big for you.
Big for me.
Your daughter got a special award.
She got a gold certificate. Not many kids got gold certificates. You have to get like 3 certificates before you get a gold certificate.
Oh, right. Okay.
And
for being kind to others, which is the best.
Which is the best reason to get a certificate in my eyes. And so we went to this assembly and... we didn't have assemblies at primary school for a start because there was only like 40 kids at my primary school. And if the headmaster wanted to tell us something, he'd just whistle at the playground and we'd all come over.
Really?
And he'd tell us something. Or he'd just be like, everybody stand up and go into the next room. I just need to tell the whole school something.
Right.
We'd be like, okay. Yeah. So it was quite weird seeing assembly for little kids. And then just before the awards part, there was a few notices. They sing a national anthem with a haka in the middle. You ever heard of this?
At primary school.
Yeah.
That's out of control.
I know, it was all go. So it went multiverse, and then there was just a little break before the end of the multiverse. Haka, end of the multiverse into the English.
It's right.
Pretty impressive to see. Anyway.
Okay. So they'll be ready for an All Blacks game, won't they?
They certainly will be. So just before the awards part, there was like this quiet in the hall, and the kids were all sitting straight on the ground.
Okay.
Adults and teachers and stuff were on the back on the bench seats, but the kids were sitting right on the ground, and right in front of me, this little dude let out a ripper of a fart. Now, I remember from intermediate and high school, a fart assembly was, an assembly fart was, as far as farts go on the funny scale, right up there.
Oh, yeah, especially with a wooden floor.
It was like a linoleum, hard linoleum floor. So, and that sat straight on the floor, so the butt was just like, it was textbook. Okay, but like that,
right? Okay,
and it echoed, and everyone just all the kids turned and looked, and I was sitting like behind this kid, and I was just cracked up laughing.
You're meant to be the mature one.
I know, but I am only a human. So this kid farts and I lose it. And the kids all lose it. And my wife's like, you can't laugh. You're supposed to be the adult. The kids are all seeing you laugh and think it's okay to laugh. We're not going to get it to come back.
your daughter's not even laughing and you're laughing. And I'm just like, I can't stop. It was the world's craziest fart. How was that timing? It was like silent and his butt was on the hard floor and I just... Oh, so we laughed for ages, right. And then the teachers were like, quiet, quiet. And I felt like I was getting told off again. And it's weird, I guess because I was like a smart ass at school, but I still hated being told off.
Yeah.
Like when the teachers were like, quiet, I was like, and looked, but then I realized I'm an adult.
They can't do anything.
Yeah, but then they kind of one of them was looked at me like, you're an adult. Because I was thinking, I'm an adult. And then she's like, you're an adult. And I was like, okay. So that's the story of why I didn't cry in my daughter's award presentation, because I was still like laughing in my head of the fart thing.
ZM's Fledge, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
Nicole, we're starting with you. What's your story for last calls?
Hi. So when my sister and I were little, she was about 5 and I was around 8. And we used to have a little chick as like a family pet. And
a chicken?
So one day a little chicken, a little baby
like
chicken.
Like a baby chicken, a chick.
Yeah, yeah, okay, little one. And she thought it was a bright idea, she was only young, that she would jump on the bed with her and it was bouncing up and down, you know? So she was jumping up and down and then up jumping on it and killing it.
Oh, God!
And, like, you know, that was, like, tragic when she was 5. So she didn't tell anyone while she was in her room. So she took it out the back, dug a little hole and buried it. And she said she had, like, a little funeral for her and everything. At 5 years old, and then it didn't until we were older, around our 20s, she actually told us then that she was like, you know, I actually jumped on the chicken and murdered it.
So what did she say? What did she say happened?
She said it had flown away. She
just took off.
It just, you know,
ran away. Off.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
She'd been harboring a murder for 15 years.
Yeah, she said, honestly, she said, I would go to school and just cry. She said, I was always so sad. And she's like, I was a chicken killer.
What a way to die.
Just imagining a chicken, a cute little chicken bouncing on the bed, though, is pretty cute.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you love that ad where the ostriches learn to fly.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, a chicken learning to fly.
That's a great ad.
By using, you know, a bouncy bed, that would really tickle your fancy.
All right, Nicole, wait there. We'll come vote in a sec. Leah, what's your story for last calls?
Yeah, hi. Last week, my sister-in-law, she was doing a little bit of dusting and stuff around the house. And anyway, I tried to reach an area that was a little bit too high for her. Long story short, she managed to fall somehow and land on her large cactus plant. So we ended up realising that we were going to need to get her to the hospital to get the thorns pulled out because they were right through her clothes.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so a week later, she's still not able to sit on her backside. Still very swollen. But she can see the humour in it, which is great.
I've fallen in like a little cactus at my house, and they, even once you get them out, have they got little skinny?
Yeah.
They've got like
I backed into a cactus and it got me in the shoulder and it was itchy for ages.
Yes, yes. No, it's very sore, very red.
Did it go at the bottom?
The bottom, yes. So she had a lot of fun explaining to her boss why she wasn't going to be at work for the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, and she needs one of those new standy desks.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. Okay. Well, vote in sick. Leah, Jesse, what's your story for last calls?
Oh, yeah. Hi.
Hi.
This was back when I was single and, you know, you go out for a night with some friends and there's a chance you might not stay at your own house.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, and you're with me. So I used to, I guess, spare a pair of underwear out, you know, in the little side pocket of my purse.
Okay.
You're very
prepared. And one night I'm just out having a pretty low-key night with some girlfriends at a Thai restaurant having a BYO. And then we got onto some cocktails and we're having a great time. And I said, quite enthusiastically, like, next round's on me, and grabbed my wallet out of my bag. And my friends just killed themselves laughing and they were like crying in tears. And I was like, what's so funny? I'm just getting the next round. And they pointed to the other side of the restaurant where this couple was having a nice romantic dinner. And my purse must have like hooked on my underwear and flung at this lacy little black string underneath their table.
Brilliant.
Oh my.
Yeah. And so I talk about ultimate shame. I had to go across the restaurant and be like, oh, I'm so sorry, but can I just grab my underwear? It's just underneath your foot. Yeah.
This is for when I go out and I sleep with dudes I've only just met and I want to put on some clean undies in the morning because, you know.
Yeah.
But I'll leave you guys to it.
Hard to explain,
sorry,
isn't
to
it?
Interrupt.
Oh, brilliant. All right, Jesse, wait there. Let's vote now. The Tribal Council.
Oh.
For our favourite story.
Carl Fletcher.
It's a tie. It's a three-way tie. We go to the producer's booth. It's been a while. Who's making the tough decision today, James?
I'll make it today. I'm going to go with Jesse's story. I like that story.
Okay, so literally.
Isn't that in many ways?
Jesse, congratulations.
That was the Fletch, Vaughn and Megan podcast. For more, catch them every morning from 6 and check them out on Facebook. ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan. ZM.